Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Broome County Legislator Kim Myers, the Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd District. Legislator Myers has a background as a small business owner and has worked in her family's larger business, Dick's Sporting Goods. The 22nd Congressional District includes all of Shenango, Cortland, Madison, and Oneida counties, and parts of Broome, Herkimer, Oswego, and Tioga counties. I want to note that I spoke with Legislator Myers' Republican opponent, Claudia Tenney, on a previous program, and you can hear that interview on WRVO.org on the Campbell Conversations page under local programming. Kim Myers, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let me start with the same question that I used to begin my conversation with Claudia Tenney. Voters in the 22nd District have come to know the retiring Richard Hanna a bit. What would the main differences that voters could expect about how you'd represent this district compared with the way that Richard Hanna has represented it?
That's a good question. I have spoke to Richard Hanna on a couple of occasions, and I actually admire his ability to work across the aisles and his ability to stand up for what he believes, not vote on party lines. So I would say as far as a difference, that would not be a difference. You know, I do have a difference in some of the Republican platform, but for the most part, I really am looking at my platform that I think really represents the 22nd District, and that's what are we going to do to create jobs, to create a more affluent and more economic balance in the 22nd District. And I really think that especially this cycle in both the national, local, and the 22nd, that people are not looking at one side of the aisle. They're not looking at Democrat or Republican. They're really looking for solutions. They're tired, as we've seen in all newspapers and media. They're tired of the gridlock. They're tired of people folding their arms, stomping their feet, and saying, I'm not going to budge unless it's my side, you know, versus your side. So I really think the issue is not, you know, who are you going to be like, but how are you going to be different, and how are you going to be your own individual and work for all the people. And that's what I plan to do.
And you mentioned the crossing of party lines is something that you would anticipate you would follow Richard Hanna a bit on. Can you give me some examples of what kinds of votes you might actually depart with the likely Democratic position in Congress if you were to be in Congress?
Well, it seems like, you know, budgetary issues and, you know, any type of issue that comes up, it you know, seems like it's one way or the other way. And there's no way to compromise. And so that's what I would propose to do. You know, I know a big issue coming up and has been is the trade agreement, the TPP. Mm-hmm. And although I don't agree with it the way it's written, I think that's an exact perfect example of where we need compromise. Part of that is good for the economy and it is good for trade, but there's other parts, the unintended consequences are devastating for certain other areas of business. And that's where I think, you know, just along party lines or even just along the way it's written, we need to come to the table, look at a piece of legislation, get the people on board, get the people at the table that it really affects, and look at are there any unintended consequences that we want to fix before we pass this. That would be one of them.
And you mentioned also that Richard Hanna being a Republican, there would be a, you know, some kind of overall difference in the thrust of what you'd be doing to represent the district. Can you give me some better idea of how that might be different? Is it going to be that you're going to take positions a little bit more to the left of his? Give me some sense of the overall difference there.
Well, certainly on health care issues, I really believe that in this country, it's not you have a right and an obligation to have quality health care at affordable rates. So I think that, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act that has been under fire quite a bit, that I don't think throwing the baby out with the bathwater is the solution, but I do believe we need to come to the table and we have to see what works and what doesn't work. What are some, as I said before, the unintended consequences? For example, I don't believe that the consequence of, for example, our public school teachers, their health insurance in many districts would qualify as a Cadillac tax. And I don't believe that the intention of the Affordable Health Care Act was to hit public school districts with a couple million-dollar fine or tax, which they certainly can't afford. So that's an example of where I wouldn't say that, yes, I'm all for the Affordable Health Care Act, or no, I'm absolutely not for it. It's like where you have to come together and find out what's working, what's not working, and let's fix it. I've heard, you know, on the Republican side, they just want to abolish it, just throw it out. And I'm not sure that that's – I don't think that that's the right answer. Let's look at what's working, what's not, and let's get to the table on both sides and fix it.
Now, I want to turn to your opponents in this election. What are the most important differences between your positions and those of your Republican opponent, Claudia Tenney?
Well, I'm definitely think that the government has no position being in between a woman and her doctor and her health care decisions.
Okay. Are there other ones other than the – and I assume you're mostly referring to the abortion issue there when you say that.
And all women's health issues. You know, it doesn't matter what it is that you know, we need to allow women to have the freedom to make decisions with their health care provider. And the government really should not be legislating that.
Certainly, they have to legislate it at some point. I mean, are you saying that you'd be in favor of more abortion rights than currently exist? Where would you position yourself there?
Again, I think that amounts to we have to do what we have to. We have to have the government stay out of those decisions. If a woman and her doctor are making those decisions, and they should have health care to provide for it, they should be able to have access to it just the same as someone that does have insurance.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but presumably there is a role for some sort of public authority there. I mean, what about 8.5 months into a pregnancy?
Well, the law has already determined that at 20 weeks, and certainly I would not be in favor of that.
Okay, so that is where you draw the line. The government does have a role in that sense, though.
Well, I think the Supreme Court has already ruled on that. They ruled, you know, okay, at 20 weeks.
Okay. What are some other things that would be important differences between you and Claudia Tenney beyond the abortion question?
I think that the government does have a role in helping individuals and to create jobs and create opportunities. I think the government has a role in looking at things that are not working for the average person. For example, student loans, you know, where we have the I've been dumbfounded as to why student loans can't be renegotiated to a lower interest rates. I've talked to people. I had a woman come up to me a couple weeks ago, and she said they will never be able to afford to pay off their children's student loans because they're at 9%. And why is that can't be renegotiated to a lower rate, just the same as when interest rates fall, that you get to renegotiate your mortgage?
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Broome County Legislator Kim Myers, the Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd District. Briefly, just to continue on this, what would you see as the most important differences between you and Martin Babinak?
I don't really know a lot about what Martin Babinak is saying. I know that all of us the one thing we agree on is that the New York 22nd needs jobs, and we need good jobs, and we need to, I think, create an opportunity for that. I know, you know, one of my opponents has said that, you know, he doesn't believe government has a role in that, and that, you know, he knows how to create jobs. Personally, I don't think there's any one person, a candidate, who says, I can create jobs. This is a we thing. This is you need to have everybody at the table, all the stakeholders, and in order to create jobs. If anybody tells you, I have a plan and I can do it, I think you should be a little bit leery of that, because I don't know any type of any lawmaker who has the ability to do anything by themselves. And I have the ability to work with people, build relationships, and look into issues and look at it from all sides and come to a conclusion what would be the best interest for everyone.
What do you view as your most important accomplishment as a member of the Broome County Legislature?
I think my most greatest accomplishment that I'm the most proud of is, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but is to be able to work with all sides. You know, we had a couple issues where some of my colleagues and I, we may not agree, but we can come together and look at it. And one of them was we had an issue that something was going to be cut and merged to the social program that serves some of our disabled and mentally challenged people in our community, and it was their lifeline. And there was a proposal to combine it with another one. And I listened to it, and I looked at it, and I went to the facility. I got a tour. I looked at all sides of it, and I called some of my fellow legislators. I said, you really need to look into this. Please look into it. And many of them did. They went up, and they looked at it, and even the county executive, to her credit, she went and looked into it further, and she pulled the resolution, and so that program was saved. And that really was a lifeline for people who otherwise might be out on the street, and actually, in the end, it would end up costing the county a lot more money.
And some of the folks that you were working with that you just referred to there then are Republicans.
Yes.
I assume that's why that's an example of what you're talking about reaching across.
Correct.
Okay. Let me ask you another question about the way that Washington works or doesn't. And it's based on some of the things that your Republican opponent said in my earlier conversation with her. So I wanted to use that as context. I'm summarizing here, but I think I'm communicating the gist fairly. Claudia Tenney claimed that the problem with Washington is not disagreement and gridlock, but rather too much agreement in Congress between the White House and Congress. Cronyism is what she described it as, and that the Republican Congress hadn't stood up enough for principle. So to what would you attribute the problems with the way Washington works? How would you explain it?
I think that explanation sounds exactly the same thing as gridlock. I mean, you know, if, you know, one side of the aisle doesn't stand up to whoever's in the White House and you create gridlock, is that what cronyism is? I don't know. I just know that it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. As Senate and House of Representatives, you're supposed to look at the issues. You're supposed to look at legislation that you can pass forward that works for your district and works for the country, and not look at where did it come from. I don't really care if it's a Republican idea or if it's a Democratic idea. If it's a good idea, then you sit down, you look at it, you look at what's going to work, what are some of the unintended consequences, what are the expense of it, what's the cost benefit, is it going to work, and you hammer it out. I think that, you know, threatening or voting to shut down the government is not the answer.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Broome County Legislator Kim Myers. She's the Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd Congressional District. You've mentioned creating jobs a couple times, and I wanted to ask you a question about that. That's been a theme of your campaign messaging, and it's, I think, a message that's shared by all the campaigns.
It is.
Notice that. Hillary Clinton, who's running at the top of your ticket, has set forth an economic plan that she says will create lots of jobs in places that have struggled, like central New York. And writing in the Wall Street Journal, however, economist John Cochran criticized her plan as, and I'm quoting him here, a thousand-course smorgasbord of government expansions. So can you put some overall coherency on Clinton's plan and tell me whether you think it will work and also equally importantly, whether it will get passed by Congress?
Well, as in anything, I think the devil is in the details. And, you know, to figure out exactly what those details are and to look at how is the impact, what's the cost benefit for it. I know that at least in the 22nd, you know, to be able to create jobs, you have to not look at what we used to have and not try to bring back what was, but to look towards the future and to look at what we need and what do we have. And what we have here is great universities and great higher education that we can partner with the jobs of the future, such as nanotechnology, such as cybersecurity, such as research and development. The other thing that we have in the 22nd that is a great asset is rich agricultural land. So I think that, you know, and part of Hillary Clinton is talking about the infrastructure, which everybody is talking about infrastructure for good reason. We need to improve our infrastructure and to rebuild our roads, our bridges, and to also bring more transportation to the 22nd so that our products can get to market in a fast way. We have a generation of students that are growing up with the benefit of knowing healthier eating and healthier lifestyle, which will reduce our healthcare costs as well as if we start getting people being lifelong healthier. And to be able to grow organic products and get them to market faster by improving our infrastructure and our roads and maybe even, you know, pie in the sky, high-speed rail between upstate and downstate. Those would create a huge economic boom for upstate, as well as bringing plants and jobs that might process that food and other products, cash crops such as hops. One of the fastest growing areas is craft beers. We import all of our hops from across the country. If we can improve that, make it cost effective, that's jobs, that's independent entrepreneurs. That's just a few examples.
Now, in all likelihood, if you win, you'll be joining a Democratic minority in Congress. That seems to be how the election is shaping up at the level of the House of Representatives. Can you tell me what your strategy will be in order to be effective there as a first-termer in the minority party?
To be effective, I think you need to be genuine, and you just need to be yourself. And that's who I'll be. I'll bring information that I gather from my constituents to Washington and to look at everybody and look at those that are experienced and say, how can we accomplish this? And I am the eternal optimist, and I really believe in this Congress there will be many people elected to the House similar to myself that across this country the constituents have said, I'm fed up. That's it. I'm not going to elect people who are just going to go and vote on party lines and nothing gets done. So I'm very optimistic that there will be a new crop of representatives like myself who are there for the right reason and the only reason, which is to do the right thing. And quite frankly, for people who are not looking to be career politicians and are not going to be beholden or have their own personal agenda.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Kim Myers, candidate for Congress. I want to pick up on exactly that point because it does seem, though, that the frustration that people have with the current system is pushing them further apart. It's not compromise candidates or centrist candidates that seem to be benefiting all that much from it, at least so far. I mean, Hillary Clinton has had to move left in her primary effort to secure the nomination. That was clear. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz clearly sketching out different positions on the right. Trump's are a little harder to put into one package the way Cruz's are. So do you really think that there's going to be this crop of people who are more centrist that are going to come in? It almost seems like it's going to be the opposite of that.
I don't think so. And the reason why I don't think so is because people want to get elected. And I think the writing is on the wall and the American people have said, we're not going to keep electing the same people that are going to keep doing the same thing over and over. And you're right. It seems in order to win the nomination, you have to be far left or far right in order to gain the nomination. Part of the answer to that is we need larger voter turnout. We need people to participate in the primaries more to make sure that the candidate that they're putting forth represents their views, because the amount of people that do participate in the primaries is very small, and that's who determines who your candidate is.
Now, if Donald Trump should be elected president, what issues could you imagine working with cooperatively with a President Trump?
If whoever is in the White House, if you're in the House of Representatives, you have to work with whoever's there. That's what your job is. That's what you've been elected to. There are a number of things that if the next president is Donald Trump, we've seen him try to shift a little bit. And although my dad always used to say you can't change the stripes on a tiger, I'm hoping that won't be the case and that there will be some reasonable, common-sense solutions that can come out of the next administration.
Could you give me some issues that you would anticipate you might find those on, given what you've seen him say so far? Are there certain issues that you have in mind? I thought maybe trade might be something you might bring up.
Maybe trade, but I think the more egregious one would be immigration. I know
that's something you would work with him on.
You have to, because you can't. We can't build a wall, and I know my opponent had supported that and said, yes, he's going to build a wall, and we support that. We can't build a wall, and that's not what this country is founded on. And I do think that we need common sense immigration reform, and I think that is able to be had if you have willing partners that are willing to come to the table and look at it. From what I understand, and I'm very new at this, the idea of building a wall would have to be funded by Congress, and I don't think that that would pass.
Well, I want to push you a little harder on this because you've given me an example of what you're not going to work with him on. So I'm looking for something where you see something in this candidate that you think, all right, if this is president, I could work with him on this.
And I think that's what I'm saying, immigration, okay. That I think that that would be a way to work together. Certainly is not complete amnesty, but there's not complete rounding up 11 million people and deporting them and building a wall. And I think that that would be someplace that we would be able to come together because it's realistic, because the other side, it's not realistic.
Now, the national debt and the national deficits continue to haunt the country and the country's future. The debt has grown by $8 trillion since the Great Recession. I wanted to get your sense of where we and how we might go about chipping away at that. Other than the usual suspects of waste, fraud, and abuse, what are your thoughts about how to control the national debt and to lower deficits?
Well, and you know, what you've cited is an example. The other thing is to, I think, evaluate programs. You know, just to do and keep funding a program because that's the way we've always done it, I think that's not a wise use of our resources. And I think that's a way to look at what are we spending it on and what is the cost benefit that we're getting from it. If the programs aren't working, then we shouldn't be funding them. We should evaluate them and see where we can cut costs on that area. And, you know, as someone who's been in business my whole life, you know, you can't spend what you don't have. It just cannot continue that you just keep kicking the can down the road. So you have to look at, and again, you have to look at it at a bipartisan way of what are we going to do.
And in that regard, then, what it sounds like you're saying is that all programs may be on the table for this examination. There are, again, I'm lumping people into parties here, but Democrats often say Social Security, hands off. Medicare, hands off. We're not going to look at that in any sort of deep way in terms of potential cuts. Are you not saying that?
I think we definitely have to protect Social Security and Medicaid, but sometimes it's in how it's done. The layers and layers of paperwork, the layers and layers of you know, just red tape, that costs a lot of money. Is there a way to look at these programs of how they're delivered, how they're reimbursed, how the paperwork comes in and that it does get funded, but how it gets delivered? I know from 18 years on the school board, sometimes things are a little more complicated than they really need to be, and that is a cost saving there. And that's where – and those things you might be able to look at. But on every single program, look at what's the intention? Are we delivering that? Is it delivering the product that we think it's going to? And if it's not, let's look at it and see how we can make it better.
We'll have to leave our conversation there. That was Kim Myers, Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 22nd District. Again, my interview with her Republican opponent, Claudia Tenney, is available on WRVO's website. Legislator Myers, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.